Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Today we're going to focus on one question for you to consider, but I won't tell you it quite yet. You have to listen a little while. Hopefully you can stay with me. Have you ever said the phrase or heard somebody else say the phrase, the good old days? Remember them? The good old days? Let me ask you then, when were the good old days? Gas was 30 cents a gallon yesterday. Might depend, right, on how old you are, what you're referring to. But sometimes you might say or hear people talk about, the good old days. My wife Amy's grandmother was a Polish Catholic from Detroit, born to immigrant parents, and lived into her 90s, and even into her 90s had this spunk, sassy attitude and big personality. And living into her 90s, she had seen, you know, a lot of the world change throughout the 20th century, although she died 7 or 8 years ago now. But one of the last visits we had with her was at a care facility that she was living at, and she met us at the door and kind of grabbed me by the hand with Amy and took me right to one of the rooms they had in the place, to the piano, and said, sit down. I know you can play the piano. Sit down and play for me. Play all those good old songs from the good old days that everybody knows. And if you know me, I'm actually shy about performing, and I don't like being put on the spot like that. So, but you can't tell grandma no. So I'm in this kind of, and I was like, okay. What do you want me to play? Well, play all those songs from the good old days. You know, those ones everybody knows. And I said, I don't know which ones you're talking about. Can you help me out here? And she starts rattling off one song, like one, two, three, four, five songs, and I can't remember what they are because I don't know them, so I can't tell you what she said because I don't know. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know those songs. I can't play them for you. I don't know. And they might have been from, I don't know, 20s, 30s, 40s. I don't know. And she was, very, very disappointed with me. You know what? You don't know those songs? Everybody knows them. You know, how do you, you know? I thought you played the piano, you know. And I was like, you know, sorry, Grandma, to disappoint you. I don't know those. When were the good old days? It depends on what you're talking about, and it's different for everyone. When were the good old days for, say, Michigan State football? Maybe a few years ago. They might continue. You might be in them now, right? It's been pretty good. Michigan Wolverines? It's been a while, right? Detroit Lions? There aren't any. No, you might say Barry Sanders or something. What about companies? When were the good old days for Sears? Kmart? Montgomery Ward? Blockbuster Video? What about Amazon? Now, what about Netflix and others that are, yeah, it changes depending. The point I'm making here is we often look back on the past and remember it as if it's better than the present, don't we? For different things, different areas, different things in life, we have some good memories, and they get better over time, and somehow we create this elusive era of goodness that we, you know, culturally title the good old days, whenever they were and whatever they were, and then the present never matches up, does it? And so we begin to believe that what we really need to do is just somehow go back in time. If we could just somehow get back to that time when life was better and somehow, you know, drag it into the future or distill it, recreate, whatever. But we somehow believe that life in the past was better than it is now. And so, you know who does this a lot? Churches actually do this a lot. Churches can spend a lot of time saying, man, wasn't it great when, fill in the blank. When this happened or this person was here, whatever, we can go, if only we could go back and relive that decade over again, wow, hey, those were the good old days. So here's the question for today that I told you was coming. Do you believe that your best days are behind you or ahead of you? That's the question. And I think that's a hard one to answer because in many times, the older you get in life, you start to really think, well, I've lived most of my life, right? So do you believe your best days are behind you or ahead of you? Now let's talk about our topic and theme for today. The creation window, which is over there, if you can or can't see it, depending on where you're sitting. And you can see, that's just a little bit of it. If you look at back there, you'll see water, Spirit of God hovering over the waters, sun, moon, creation stuff. The hand, that's Christian artwork depicted, God's hand there matches the hand up there. That's God the Father creating. The beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, you and I weren't there, God was. And God creates out of God's creativity, out of God's love, and everything good we have is from God. If there truly were good old days for the entire universe, they were then, when God created perfectly. Out of nothing, God makes it, and then looks at it and says, this is good. Whether it's tulips, or maple trees, or squirrels, or striped zebras, or apple trees, or blueberry bushes, God looks at it and says, good, good, good. And then when God forms humanity, Adam and Eve, he doesn't just say it's good. He looks at it and says, very good, in my image. And if you want to know how creative and grand God is, just go to the zoo and look at all the weird animals and all the diversity. Or go to botanical gardens and see and just marvel that that's God's creativity. And it was all perfect and it was all just the way God wanted it. Yet it all broke down pretty quickly, didn't it? Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, you need this. This will make your life better. Don't worry what God said. Hey, you need this. And the moment that they believed that and ate whatever that was, they disconnected themselves from God. They broke the relationship. And when your relationship with God breaks, everything else in your life breaks. And so the world comes crashing down. And we have terms we say, and we call it, the fall into sin, or sin entered the world. It's a break in our relationship with God, and then everything else breaks. And you and I don't have to spend too much time to agree that the world is broken. You don't have to look very far to see people suffering, to see hurting, to see sinning, to see hunger and disease and oppression and unjust leaders and immorality. We don't have to look very far for that. It's all over, and it causes you pain, and it causes a lot of people pain. And we first and foremost say, the world is broken because I am broken, which is why I love the hard-hitting words of our confession we say sometimes, I, a poor, miserable sinner. I don't like to say that about myself, but I have to own it so that I can receive the grace of God. Because God has graciously saved you and me, and that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that God wants to renew the whole world. But you and I often are thinking back to say, if Adam and Eve, if Adam and Eve just didn't do that, would we still be in paradise? Hey, would we still have the good old days? Would, Adam and Eve, come on, could you not just trust God? He said, trust me, don't eat from that one tree. You can do anything you want, just this one thing. Could you not? And you start to say, if they just didn't do that, we could get back to that perfect time. But that's just the beginning of the story, and there's a whole lot more to it. So I want to show you now a painting that's going to help us talk about God's story, because we're not just talking about creation today, we're talking about creation, and at the end, we get to the book of Revelation, there's recreation. So yeah, Peter, hit some of the lights there and you'll be able to see this a little better. This is a painting called God's Story by David Arms. He was commissioned by a church in Tennessee a number of years ago, and I've used it in a Bible, if you've been to some of my Bible classes, you may have seen this already. And he made it in four parts, four panels, to tell God's story. And if you can read, it might be kind of hard. There's four words, four panels. Life, first panel on the left. Loss, love. The fourth one is, can you read it? Hard to read. Life. So life, loss, love, life. The Bible story, God's story, in four panels in four words. Well, I already talked about the first two, so blaze through those quickly. Life, God creates. And what do you see in the picture up there? What does God create? A tree. Is there a tree at the beginning in creation? Yes. And what's on? There is a tree, the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Bible doesn't say it, but a certain kind of fruit gets associated throughout history as an apple. So he puts that there, even though the Bible never says. But that God brings life, creates all things. And what do you see? Grass, healthy tree, birds up there. Those are chickadees, by the way, which I had to look up. Don't know birds very well. But then what happens? Loss. Right? You see this, the second one? Quite a different tree, right? The relationship breaks. Everything's tainted. Loss. Does the tree look healthy, alive, and well? No. What kind of birds are there? Bird people? Yeah, ravens. Scavengers. But notice, one, they're looking in different directions. One is looking back. One is looking forward. One is looking back saying, man, those were the good old days, weren't they? Boy, we had it good. Healthy tree, creation, perfect. Wow, oh man, if only. But one is looking forward. One is looking forward saying, maybe God won't give up on us. Maybe there is hope in the midst of all our pain and all our sin and all our hardship. Life, loss. And third one is love. God doesn't abandon us. God's promise of a Savior to Adam and Eve was in the garden right when they sinned. Genesis 3:15, God promised a Savior for his people. And then the rest of the scriptures up until Jesus unfolds that of him saving and loving his people Israel over and over and over again until God shows up as Jesus Christ. And so you see what's in the middle of the tree on the third one, on love? There's a cross right in the middle. And Jesus died on a tree to end all sin, end all death, end all evil. And what do you see above the tree? An egg. When do we use a lot of eggs? Easter. New life. And there's also butterflies up there too. New life. New life out of death. Love. Easter. New life. So life, loss, love. That's the Bible so far in three words. And that's not the end though. That's not the end of the story. It isn't just God created, we ruined it, God saved us in Jesus, and we get to escape it all. That's not the end. The end of the story is in the book of Revelation that we read when heaven itself invades and crashes into earth, and it's life. Life, loss, love, life. One day, because Jesus is risen and because he is Lord of the universe, he will return to recreate the world. Creation and recreation. The end of the story of God is recreating the world. And the first step of that, we talked about on Easter, is Jesus. That's why he's called the first fruits, the first step, the first installment, the first one. Now, I want you to notice two things up there. First one I want you to notice is there is a tree, obviously, in all four panels, right? In the Bible, where are there trees? There's a tree in the Garden of Eden. Where's another tree you know of? Where does Jesus die on a tree? As Deuteronomy then points to, it says anyone who dies on a tree is cursed. And then, yeah, there's another tree at the end in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, the very end, the very last chapter, the tree of life reappears. But it looks different than the tree of life in Genesis. Tree of life in Revelation brings healing to the nations as all this kind of fruit that feeds and heals God's people. So yes, there are trees all throughout the Bible at very important points. Second thing I want you to notice is which tree is the healthiest? It's not the first one, is it? It's not the beginning of time. It's not the good old days. It's the last one. Which panel has the most fruit? And you notice the fruit is going off of the page, off of the panel, meaning God's new creation, we don't even have right words for it. We can't even get it, you know, fit it into the little box that we have here. Life at the end is better than life at the beginning. When Jesus returns to recreate, it will be even better than his perfect creation in the beginning. The tree in Revelation is like the tree in Genesis, but better. Creation and recreation. Which gets us back to the question. I said, hey, we might get far afield, but there's one question I want you to think about today. Do you believe that your best days are behind you or ahead of you? Do you believe that your best days are behind or ahead of you? You see, If you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, crucified, risen for you, bringing forgiveness and healing and eternal life from his hands and feet directly to you, no matter what you've been through, the future will be better than the past, even if that means in eternity. And that will give you a new way to live life right now. So no matter what your worst days have been like, and I know some of you have suffered greatly, no matter what your worst days have been like and worst seasons, Easter means that your best days are not behind you but ahead of you. No matter what pain you have endured, no matter how deeply you have been hurt, no matter how badly you have sinned and messed up your life, no matter how disabled your body or your heart may feel, because Jesus is alive, because he will return in glory to bring heaven to earth, your best days are not behind you but ahead of you, even if it means in eternity. So no matter what age you are and you think, boy, I'm pretty close to the end of my earthly life, that still means your best days are ahead of you. Because Jesus will return and will recreate God's world, the best days of your life are ahead of you. And that means that the best days of this church are ahead of us. And the best days of this community, this city, and this entire world are not behind us, but they're ahead of us. And we don't have to think and look back to some elusive past of good old days to try to conjure up and try to say, boy, wasn't it nice when? God's recreation will be better in the future. So if your best days are ahead of you, what does that mean? What does that mean for how you can do your job or whatever you do throughout your most of your days? Well, it means you can do it faithfully and confidently, knowing that your true value doesn't come from how people evaluate you or what they say about you. It comes from Jesus, not from a performance review. Boy, Jesus tells you you're a true eternal child. Wow. And if your best days are ahead of you, what does it mean for your relationships? Well, it means you can serve other people not needing anything back. You can give and serve to others because God will fill you. God will take care of you. Jesus has promised a better future. And if your best days are ahead of you, what does that mean for your failure? Well, it means that your failure, whatever it is not the end of you. Whether it's job failure or relational failure or even moral failure, you are forgiven. You are renewed, and your future is better than your past. You see, the resurrection of Jesus means that your best days are ahead of you. Yes, God created all things perfectly, beautifully, wonderfully, but it's going to be even better when Jesus returns to recreate. The recreation will be better than the creation. And so we don't have to pine for the good old days of the past. We can long for the future because if Jesus truly is risen, your best days are ahead of you. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.